One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. No matter how difficult the situation, true disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
Hello, this is John Austin from the University of Utah Institute of Religion. This is the podcast series entitled Peacemakers Needed. During this episode, we will be discussing what it means to have peace in the unknown. And I'm joined today by Bree Yamauchi, and she's currently a graduate from Utah State University, and she is working for business operations here in Salt Lake. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
The topic is peace in the unknown. Bree, I want to know why you decided to talk about this today.
Anytime I'm going to talk on a podcast or give a talk in church or whatever it might be, right? It has to be a topic that's really near and dear to my heart. And right now, this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. To give just a little bit of an introduction, I grew up in Idaho, a small town in Idaho. Served my mission in Japan, graduated from Utah State University, and to be quite honest with you, from the time you remember, from the time you're little up until the time you graduate, life's pretty well determined for you. Everybody kind of goes on the same path. We all do the same do, right? There might be a few decisions here and there, like what are we going to major in or who are our friends going to be? But as a general rule, we know what our next step is. And once that's over, there's a very harsh reality, I think, that can come for a lot. That is the unknown, right? There's a lot of unknowns.
It's so true. You eventually have to move out of mom and dad's place. Even in terms of like spiritual side of things, if you've been a member your whole life and like your parents went to church, you go with them. It's different when you move out and you start going, like, let's say to college or start working. And you realize it's your decision to really decide to either go to church or to do certain things that you don't know, you don't really understand.
Right.
I feel like in the unknown also that could mean like testimony. Like you don't know if you have a testimony.
Yeah, so, 100%.
Yeah.
I think there's different areas of life, right? Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, socially. It's all just put in this fiery furnace of testing, right?
Yeah, it's so true.
So, I mean, in preparing for this podcast, I actually looked up the definition of peace, and I started laughing, okay? So I have to tell you, the first definition that comes up in the dictionary, it says freedom from disturbance. And the second definition is a state or period in which there is no war or a war has ended. And I genuinely, I'm on my own in my bedroom laughing, sort of laughing, crying, honestly. Inside, oh. I'm like, there's plenty of disturbances in my life. Satan's still out there, so the war's not over. And yet, we've been told to have peace, right? And by having peace, we can be a peacemaker. I'd love to ask you, what are some unknowns in your life right now?
I personally feel that the unknowns that are in my life currently are, what am I going to do for work eventually? Is my degree really what I need right now? Is it going to get too hard for me? Am I going to need to drop out of college? Sometimes that's very rare, but it's an unknown. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen. How am I going to do on this test? What's tomorrow going to be like?
Yep.
There's unknowns and doubts. I feel like doubts also come with the unknown, is the fear of not being in control. I think that's something that people really struggle with these days, is that they can't handle a situation that's out of their hands. They can't handle it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. No, that's kind of...
No, that's great. But. And honestly, after looking up that definition, I kind of wrote my own list of unknowns. And again, kind of chuckled because I think most of life is unknown. And I don't think it really matters what stage of life you're in. I don't. Again, life's a lot more known when you're younger, but there's still unknowns there, right, that we worried about, what group we're going to be part of or what sports we're going to do, and those seemed big. But as you continue to progress throughout life, God just gives you kind of, it's like the next step on the ladder because you've grown enough to be able to tolerate it. And so when I'm 90 years old, I'm going to be going through unknowns, probably dealing mostly with death.
Yeah.
There's going to be unknowns, right? And so anyway, I wrote down a few unknowns for me right now that come to mind. Dating. So many unknowns in dating. Marriage. When is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? And then even after marriage, not that we should even entertain those questions before marriage, but still, like, oh my goodness, are my kids going to struggle in the church? Would my husband struggle in the church? There's a million questions you could ask there, right? If I get married, that means divorce could be a possibility. And how do I make sure that doesn't happen? And so there's a lot to unpack there. And relationships in general, friends, family, colleagues. This economy is really rough right now for everybody. I have a new friend every day that's getting laid off. It's happening so often. People are trying to find jobs, or they're working their hardest to climb the corporate ladder. People are worried about their job security, so they're always on edge. In this job market, there's not a whole lot of high pay, it seems. Oh. Buying a house. Let's just talk about how expensive that is. And do you buy or do you rent? And there's just a lot of unknowns, and that creates a hesitancy to act. I think about when I was in college, I didn't ever touch the stock market, ever. I don't know if you have or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I haven't touched it. I'm waiting on that one. Just, I don't know, too many risks. I don't know enough.
Yeah.
I don't have time to look it up to get into it, but.
Exactly. It's an unknown, and so therefore you're not doing it. And once I had a mentor that could walk me through and help me understand, and I could ask questions to them, and those questions provided really insightful answers that then allowed me to act, it wasn't an unknown as much, and I was able to start investing in the stock market, which is a really important thing to do as soon as you can in your life. Mm-hmm. So it's that fear of the unknown that keeps us from acting. And so I started thinking about all of the unknowns, and then I started thinking, okay, if the world defines peace as the end of war or no disturbance, no turbulence in life, how does God define peace? Because it has to be different. I think in its truest sense, of course, peace is the war will end, right? Like Satan will be bound, and we're all going to, hopefully, if we do our part, we're going to gain our exaltation and it'll all be good. But until then, the war isn't ended, but we still should have peace. And so this is the best thing I've been able to articulate for what I think true peace is. I think peace is a state of being. Mm-hmm. And that means that you have full control of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not based off external circumstances. It's a peace from within. And that peace should be based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. When that is our base, all of a sudden, even now as I'm saying that, like, I just got chills. Because if that is truly our base, even in the unknown, and they will always exist, it'll work out. Mm-hmm. One way or another. And I think that peace allows us to be able to, like, actually act on things. When we don't have that peace and we're feeling intimidated, we get stuck in this kind of cycle and it doesn't ever end. And so we've got to take a chance and get outside of that. And, you know, just in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of things that I have done, right, action-wise, to create that peace.
That is well said. I love that you mentioned that peace is a state of being. And I also feel that before we can have peace, we obviously have to recognize the Savior. We have to have that humility to understand that in order to have peace, we have to have Him.
Yeah.
In order to feel that peace too, we also have to have that joy as well. That understanding of throughout these hard times, throughout this difficulty, it's going to be okay. And once you have that realization that with the Savior, you can experience that true joy, and with joy comes peace.
Yeah,
it's kind of,
I love
it's very
that.
Synonymous and He is the Prince of Peace. There's no other way to really gain true peace.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. I think as we gain that peace, and it comes over time, peace is kind of, it's not like you have peace or you don't. It's a sliding scale. And at different times in our lives, we're going to fluctuate on that. But the most peaceful people that I know, they have a lot of confidence. And that confidence, like I said before, creates action. Let me just give you a couple examples of I think, actions that are really important for me and for those listening to this podcast, really important steps to take to either gain more peace, or maybe you have peace and, you know, there's other benefits that come from these actions. One of the first things that come to mind for me is attending Institute. And ironically, this is an Institute podcast, and people could say, oh, that's just like a promotion, standard primary answer promotion. This is not, I'm not being slide a dollar under the table to say this. I think there's a culture that I've noticed in this area that Institute is only for students. As I mentioned in the beginning, I graduated from Utah State University. And by the way, I cheer for the Utes too, so no big deal there. I graduated from college and I graduated from Institute. So in terms of what can I get, what accolade can I receive from attending Institute, there aren't any. I'm not doing it to graduate. I'm not doing it because I'm a student. I'm doing it because I recognized 6 months after living here, oh, there's an Institute that's pretty close to me, and I should really take a class. I took my first class, and then the next semester, right, and I don't speak semester schedule. I work. but in Institute, you still get to speak semesters, yep, which is kind of fun, like remembering, oh, yeah, that's fall break. I was going on a lot of business trips the next semester, and I didn't take it. And, you know, the story continues that sometimes I'm taking it, sometimes I'm not. There is, and I have a very strong testimony of this, there is a stark difference in my life when I'm attending Institute versus when I'm not. I just hope, you know, again, those listening to the podcast, or share this with somebody that's not attending Institute and let them know about these resources. A lot of people that have graduated, they work or they have a family or whatever the case might be, and there are resources to be able to compensate for that. There's evening classes. That's what I'm doing right now. There's a podcast class like this that you don't even have to come to the Institute for. And Institute is truly for any young adult, not young single adult, young adult,
yeah,
married or single. And to have this resource with incredible teachers, it has brought me so much peace, and I'm so grateful for that. So Institute's a big one. Don't want to labor that topic anymore, but another thing that I think has really brought me a lot of peace is ministering. I love ministering so much. I especially love ministering when I feel like, this is going to sound weird, but when I feel like I'm the one that needs to be ministered to. If I can reach outside myself, God always makes up the difference for what I need, you know?
Yeah, of course. And Bree, that's something that I feel is very important, is that charity, that ministering, because what greater way to feel peace and to have that security than to do exactly what the Savior did his whole life?
Yeah.
It was charity, pure love of Christ. That is what it is.
And I love that you said that's what the Savior does, because I think, in line with the definition I said about having a strong relationship with God, when we're doing what he does, he's the Prince of Peace, like you said. And so when we are acting as he did on earth and as he would have us act, that is our peace, right? Like, it will come naturally. You don't even have to ask for it. It comes as a result of doing.
Yeah, of course. And I feel that the Savior had the greatest peace that any person could ever have. I mean, not even a person, he's also a God. So
right.
I can't even fathom the idea of being able to have that much peace, knowing that he would take on the sins of the world. He would feel everyone's pain and suffering.
Yeah.
It's something that we'll never truly understand until we actually see him again.
Yeah.
Things are getting pretty close to when we need to wrap up right now. But Bree, thank you for everything that you've shared so far about peace in the unknown. And there's this great scripture that I would like to share also. It's actually my favorite scripture, so this is a great topic. I wasn't really planning on sharing this today, but here it is. It's when Nephi is going to get the plates from, and he has no idea what's going to happen. He doesn't even know how he's going to do it, because he's been kicked out of Jerusalem like 3 times now. He decides to go in by himself to try to get the plates. And this is in 1 Nephi chapter 4, verse 6. It says, quote, "And I was led by the Spirit, not knowing beforehand the things which I should do." And I feel that, Bree, in order for us to have peace, we have to be led by the Spirit. We have to have that connection with Jesus Christ and the Savior, that understanding that things are going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I really love that. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
What better way to be a peacemaker and to feel peace than to be led by the Spirit? It's just, that's why we go to Institute. That's why we listen to these podcasts, because they're amazing and they help us feel the Spirit. Mm-hmm. My last question that I have for you today is, what's an example of a time when you have been a peacemaker, and how has the Savior helped you to be a peacemaker?
It's a really good question. Can I, before I share my specific answer to that question, can I maybe back it up with a little bit of a story, a quick story?
Yeah, of course.
I have learned in the past several years that there is a difference between empathy and sympathy. There's a really big difference. Mm-hmm. Empathy drives connection, and sympathy drives disconnection. I like to think of empathy like someone, let's just say you've told me a really, really hard thing, right? Mm-hmm. Your life's really hard. In fact, figuratively, imagine like, or literally, imagine that you've dropped into a hole and you're telling me, hey, it's really dark. You're calling out to me. You're just feeling alone. Mm-hmm. Empathy I will find a way to connect with that feeling that you're feeling, which is a vulnerable choice on my part to do. And I will go into the hole with you. Sympathy looks down into the hole. And usually a sympathetic response starts with at least. So somebody just told you a really hard thing.
Yeah.
And you're trying to put a silver lining around their little thought bubble. And, you know, they say, oh, school is like incredibly difficult. I'm drowning right now. And they say, well, at least you have the ability to go to school. Or I just got broken up with. Well, at least you have the opportunity to go on dates and get free food. Right? Just an example. I don't know.
Yeah. Where's the connection there?
No connection. And really, you end up doing a lot of damage. Mm. And the empathetic person rarely says anything. They're just there to listen, right? Mm-hmm. I think of like Jesus with Lazarus. Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, right?
Yeah.
But you'll notice in the scriptures that he still allowed Mary and Martha to sit in their emotions and weep with them. And I think, you know, again, rarely does a response drive connection. It just doesn't do it. Knowing somebody's there and just sitting with them does a whole lot more than you realize. So back to your question, when is a time that I've been a peacemaker? I have a friend who recently went through a pretty explosive episode of depression. I remember when he called me and tears were shed, right, on his part. And I'm going through hard things of my own, right? Mm-hmm. I could have brought those hard things up. And then it just becomes a competition of who has the harder life.
Oh, right? That is so true, yeah.
Which isn't helpful at all. And so I was going through, I mean, this year is a little bit of a fiery furnace. That's what it feels like for me, right? If I had to rank it, probably the second hardest year of my life, okay? Wow. And don't need to go in on details. God is good. I'm so happy to be alive. And I just sat there and listened to him. And he will talk about that often. That's what he needed right then more than anything else. And it's part of what helped him come out of that depression that he was feeling at the time. I think to bleed into the next question, how do you learn how to be a peacemaker and how do you maintain that peacemaker state? I'm constantly trying to remember to pray for charity, right? Which is what President Nelson specifically said in this talk that this podcast is all about, is charity is the answer. And charity is a gift. It says it in the scriptures, right? Like that mm-hmm. is a fact. Charity is a gift. That means that it's not just something we automatically have, which I think is interesting. A gift means you have to be able to receive it. And in order to receive it, he has asked for something pretty simple, although at times hard, mm-hmm. ironically, and that is to ask for it with all the energy of heart. And I know and testify that when I do that, there is a peace that comes into my life and the lives of those around me because it's a tangible feeling, right? And I would just encourage everybody, right, tonight in your prayer and then for every night after that you can remember, pray with all energy of heart for that feeling and he will bless you with it because he is the giver of every good gift and I testify of that.
Thank you so much, Bree, for being with us today.
Thank you.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others at home, at church, at work, and online really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way.
This podcast series has been produced by students at the Institute at the University of Utah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend.
To direct others to this podcast, to listen to other episodes in this series, or to enroll in the Institute class associated with these podcasts, see our website at overcometheworld.podbeam.com.
This recording is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed are those of the participants and are neither the official doctrine nor the official teachings of the church.